Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Menacha is Daf Yates. We begin on Yud Ches Amud Beis, three lines off the bottom, back to the Machlokes regarding Yitzika and a Mincha. So we know that Belila is not Miyakev. So if one skips the initial mix, it's not essential, it's not critical to the process, but the Yitzika, which is critical, so that's the third pouring of oil into this Mincha mix, that is required, that is essential. The question is, who must do it? Is it only done by a Kohen? That's Rav Shimon's Shita. Whereas the Rabbanan say, even Yisrael, even the owner can do it. So that's the what. Now for the why. My time with the Rabbanan, why do Rabbanan say that even a Yisrael can do Yitzika on a cross based on a Pasuk? V'yotzak aleo shemen, so that's the Yitzika. V'nosin aleo levoina, and then he brings it to the Kehanim to take care of. Apparently, up until that point, it could be handled by Yisrael. V'vio, b'nei arna kayin, v'koyanim, v'kamatz, and he performs the Kmitza. We learn, mikmitza v'eloch. From the moment of Kmitza onward, that specific to a kohen mitzvah kahuna. But up until that point, even the Yitzika, Limei Da Yitzika, Blila Shekshera, which can be done by a bazaar, Rab Shimon, he responds, that, take a look at that pasuk, it says, he brings it to the Kehanim, but the Arna Kehanim, that relates to both points. You see, the pasuk reads like this, Yatzak Aleh Shaman, right? Lavoina brings it to the Kehanim, Vivia, right? And it says V'kamatz. So the term B'nei Arna Kehanim is sandwiched between the Yitzika, which is stated before, and the Kmitza, which is discussed afterwards. So according to Rav Shimon, this Lashon, this phrase, relates to before and to after. It relates to the Kmita, which is after, as well to the Yitzika, which is before. Rav Shimon ben Arna Kehanim, Mikra, a Pasuk Nidr Shlefan Vila Achrav, can be applied to before and to after. To what is said before and to what is said afterwards. So the Yitzika has to be done by the Kehanim. And likewise, the Kmitza as well. V'sav Rav Shimon mikra nidrash lefan av l'achrav. Is that so? That according to Rav Shimon, you take a pasuk both in both directions. V'atani, we have a discussion regarding the halacha of the dam of the chatos. Must it be done with his right hand or even his left? V'lokach koin midam chatos be'etzpoi. V'nasan al karnoi samizbeach. The kohen does the kabbalah of the dam of the blood of the chatos. Be'etzboi v'nasan, and he applies it to the corner of the mizbeach. Now, the term etzba, as we learned the other day, denotes specifically the kohen's right hand, the right finger, right? Now, according to Tanakama, this concept applies to what is said beforehand and to what is said afterwards. So the word betzboi relates back to velokach, indicating that the act of lokach, the kabbalah, requires the right hand, and likewise going forward. V'nasan al karnei hamizbeach, applying the blood on the mizbeach. Both activities require his right hand only. That's the Tanakhama. And Rav Shimon will disagree. He'll say, no, only goes forward. Doesn't go backwards. Let's see. Betzboi velokach, this relates back to velokach. Lamed we learn. The Kabbalah needs his right hand, and likewise it goes forward. Beitz boy goes on v'nasan. Malama, this teaches application on the mizbeach, also right hand only. That's Tanakhama. Rav Shimon disagrees. Tanakhama holds it goes in both directions. Amar Rav Shimon, no, never yad b'kabbalah. Does it then say the hand, the etzba, back on the Kabbalah Saddam? It relates to what it says afterwards, only, which is the application on the mizbeach, only that requires his right hand. Hoil, and since v'lo yinem yad b'kabbalah, since it doesn't have yad b'kabbalah, Kiva was small kosher. If he does Kabbalah with his left hand, it's kosher. Vam Rabbi, Rabbi explained, what is this dispute based on? It's based on the question of do we apply the pasuk in a multi-directional way? Vam Rabbi, mik b'mikro nidush l'fan of l'ach k'miflegi. Tanakhama says yes, Rav Shimon says no. It's back to our question. Why, according to Rav Shimon, must he tzik and vow only a kayin? Eloi, I'm talking to Rav Shimon, I'll tell you the reason Rav Shimon. Because in this pasuk, it starts with the yitzika, right? And it says, bring it to the kohanim to do the kmitza, ve'hevya, and he'll offer it to the kohanim. Oh, you have a vav there. A vav is a connector. Vav moisif, alin and rishon. Vav connects to the previous halacha. So it says, the kmitza requires a kohen. Going back to the yitzika, it also needs a kohen. Through this connecting vav. Really? V'sabah, Rabbi Shimon, vav moisif, alin and rishon. Rabbi Shimon hold of this concept that a vav connect and allows you to share the information. Al miyata, if that's the case, the chsiv, take a look at the shchita of an oila. It says v'shachadas bin abakar. So somebody does a shchita, doesn't identify him. Is it a kohen? Is it not? And then it says, bring it to the kohanim for the right. The kohanim will take the dam and do the kabbalah. Bikrivu bnei Aaron at kohanim, which is actually speaking about the act of kabbalah. It's called ikrivu. Ikrivu is a lashon of carbon. Rabban says that by doing the Kabbalah and the Klisharas, they are actually transforming mundane blood into carbon blood, into holy blood, v'yikrivu. Okay, so it's the act of Kabbalah. Who does it? A kohen only. As well as the activities going forward. V'yikrivu b'nar na'kayanim sadam v'zorgas sadam. And we learn, make Kabbalah v'elach, only starting from Kabbalah forward, mitzvah skuna requires a kohen. Melamed, we learn from me, al shchita shikshar b'zor, shchita k'medam v'zor, by an owner. Hold it. But there's a vav, a connector. Either Rav Shimon, Vav Moisef, Al Indian Rishon, according to Rav Shimon, if the Vav is a connector, Shchita Chinami, here's what by Shchita as well. We shall learn through the Vav by connecting it to the Kabbalah, which needs a coin, so the Shchita with a Zor should be possible. Why doesn't Rav Shimon express that, you know, opinion regarding Shchita? Answers the Gemara, over there there's a special exemption, Shani Hasam. It's very different. The Pasuk says that even a Zor is okay. V'samach, and then it says V'shachat. So we connect the act of Shchita to the act of Smicha leaning on the curb, which is done by the owner. Ma Smicha Bazar, Ma Shchita Bazar, just like the Smicha can be done by an ordinary Jew, right? The owner, no matter who he is. Shchita as well does not require a coin. So it's a special exception. It says the Gemara, well, if you're connecting one to the other, so just as smicha needs to be done by the owner only, perhaps are you saying that shchita by the owner only? Well, no. Ha'olam says amrs, you can't insist on that because there's a kal v'chomer that undoes that. Humazrika dikur kapara leboi bailam. This rika, which is the primary act of kapara that generates the atonement, doesn't need an owner to do, because of course zrika is done by a kain, a random kain. Certainly the shchita, which is the lav ikar kapar, which isn't the primary driver of the kapar, the koshkan, of course, would you agree an owner is not required? Chitame, perhaps you say it's not really a fair equation, you're taking something which is not possible and comparing it to something which is possible. Ain't done in efshar, who's to say that you can, you know, derive the status of shchita and not require an owner based on mishayi efshar from the zrika, which we all know cannot be done by an owner. It's not really a fair equation. Okay, so that's really out. We'll find another indicator in a pasuk which allows a non-owner to do the shchita, because we find on Yom Kippur, Gali Rachmona Bim Kippur, Yom Kippur Torah indicates to us and reveals to us as sort of an exceptional situation that the Kohen Gadol must do shchita on his par, and only in that case, but not otherwise. Otherwise, you don't need an owner. V'shachat as parachat as asher loy. Mechlav, we learn from here, the shchita of Alma, a general, typical shchita on a regular carbon, doesn't need the owner. Libin and ban. Continues the Gemara. Amarav. So we indicated yesterday that although there are many activities, many, you know, steps to be taken regarding preparation of a mincha, but not all of them are critical. Now, how do we know throughout the carbon system what's considered essential, what's critical, what's just commendable? Amar Rav, here goes. Kol makim shenemar Torah v'chukah. Whenever we look at the psukim and we find the term Torah, so it's Torah, soil, right? And chukah, some sort of variation of the word chukah. Chayik, chukas. Eino yelo le'achav. That's telling you that That is critical. That act, that, you know, item discussed in that context is critical. Because that more figures, one or the other. You need both terms. The combination of Torah and Chukah to make it essential. As we find in Parshas Paraduma, right? We all know Zois Chukah Sator. We have Chukah and we have Torah. Otherwise, it's not Miyakev, really. Really, Nazar. Take a look at the Parsha of Nazar. We don't find Chukah, we only find Torah. Like Siva Bey Ela Torah, it says Zois Torah Sanazar. Bomber Rav himself tells us things are critical. Tnufa Benazar Miyakev, the act of Tnufa is Miyakev. Well, that's an exceptional case, Shani Hosam. Why? Keeping the chsiv, since it begins, that parsha there, Ken Yasa, this is how he's meant to do it. This and only this way, Kuman the chsiv b'chukah domi, it's as though it says chukah, and it denotes that it's critical. Says the Gemara, okay, what about the korban toida? Vari toida de like siva bay, ala toira. We only have the word toira, v'zois toira azavach ha-shlomen, right? Imal toida. And we learn in the Mishnah later on that it's all critical. Utnan arba shabatoida, the four types of bread that accompany a toida are critical. Ma'akum zezeh, they're critical to each other. You can't have one without the other. It's one indivisible package. Why? Answers the Gemara once again, Shani toida toida is different to Ishkas Nazar because it's connected to the Nazar, the Chsiv. Al zevach toida shlamav. So we have toida, we have shlamav, and shlamav indicates the nazar's carbon. Amar, we learned the word shlamav, the Rabbi Shalmi Nazar is covering the Shalmi Nazar. So we have that connection between the toida and the nazar, and just as by the nazar we just concluded, things are me'akiv, likewise by the toida. Next question, Vare mitzorah. By the mitzorah, look, siv bei ela toira, only have the word toira, so it's the toira sa mitzorah. With the nun we learn, arba minish mitzorah. The four items that he's meant to bring, the block of wood, the grass, etc., Ma'akum says they're all critical. Why? The answer is Shani Hasam. It's different. Given the Chsibah, he says Tia Teres HaMetzera. It says Tia. Tia means with absoluteness, non-negotiable. Kamad Chsibah Chukadami. That substitutes for the word Chukah. Next question. Fariyam HaKippurim, the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the Chsibah L'Chukah. There it doesn't say Torah, it only says Chukah. It says the Chukah Soilam. And we learn, Shnei Siru Yom HaKippurim, the two goats in Yom Kippur, Ma'akum says they're critical. How do you accommodate that? Okay, says the more, we have to relearn Rav's rule. Ella, you're right. It's not the combined Torah and Chukah that's required to make it critical. One or the other. Ella oy Torah oy Chukah. If it says either Torah or Chukah, we learn that it's Miyakev. Ask the Gemara of Arei, Sharka Banas Sibu Torah. Look around by the other Karbanas. We do have the word Torah. There's a pasuk that covers all the karbanos. Zois haTorah lo ilo v'la mincha v'la chatas v'la asham, etc., etc. Well, in Miyakev, we find that many halachos throughout the karbanos are not really Miyakev. How's that? Says the Gemara, you're right. We have to tweak it once again. The term Torah is not sufficient enough. Not alone enough to tell you that it's Miyakev. Torah boya chukah. You need chukah in addition to Torah. V'chukah lo boya Torah. When it says chukah, that's absoluteness. You don't need Torah to accompany it. But Torah v'chukah ka'amar. But Rav said you need both. What do you mean? Chaykama, he meant to say like this. He went in order. He meant Torah is great, but it needs chukah. Whereas chukah does not need Torah. Afakav d'chsiv Torah. Even if it says Torah, it doesn't mean it's absolute. Iksiv chukah. What does it depend on? If it says chukah along with it, yeah, be loy, but otherwise not. Loy. Okay, says the Gemara, if chukah alone is enough to denote criticality, v'arei mincha. What about the carbon mincha d'chsiv bei chukah? Simba chukah says chayk, chak yachlana chayk oilam, they should eat it chak oilam. And nevertheless, we learn that many items can be skipped. Vama Rav Ram himself tells us, kol makam shiichsu yakosef, b'teres mincha. Whenever we find throughout the mincha process that Torah repeats itself for emphasis, that's to tell you that it's critical. That item only. Ein elu le'akev, hechser. The items which were repeated, and yeah, those are critical, but lo yechser lo, but otherwise not. Despite the term chukah. Says the Gemara, you know why there is different? Because that chukah doesn't really count as far as we're concerned. Shani hosam dechsiva chukah, because where it says chukah is discussing the eating of the mincha. Achilo, ksiva, speaking about the consumption of the mincha. And not on the akrava, so we can't learn anything regarding mima akiv on the, you know. Says the Gemara, vare lechem apanam, what about lechem apanam dechsiva chukah? There as well, the lashon chukah, it's not speaking about the processing, the akrova, achilok, it's speaking about the consumption. And still we learn, assumingly based on that, that things are miyakev. We learn shnei sedorim, machin zevzed, two arrangements, two rows of lechem apanim are critical. Shnei bezichin machin zevzed, two spoons of minch of levoina miyakev. Hasdorim v'abezichin machin zevzed, the breads and the bezichin miyakev each other. What do you mean? Yeah, it says chukah, but it's regarding eating, which we said is not denoting criticality. Elo says the Gemara, you're right. Kolecha dechsiva achila. Even though the chayk is discussed regarding eating, it spreads throughout the entire process. Akula misal ksiva, it relates to the entire thing, even the akrava. So back to the question, why not by mincha? Shani hosa mincha is different than akra. The pasuk elsewhere emphasizes that certain elements of the mincha mi'akiv, indicating that otherwise it's not. It's flour, it's required oil, those are critical, indicating that otherwise things other than that are not miyakiv, right? Geres v'shemen, those are miyakiv. But otherwise things are not miyakiv in a mincha, unless the Torah repeats itself, as we're going to learn in a second again. Gufa merav, so as Rabbi just told us, throughout the mincha process, if we find that the Torah repeats itself, that's meant for emphasis. Ein elo liyakiv. Shmuel says no. Only the geres v'shemen mi'akv, the flour, the oil, yeah, vein debrach mi'akv, but otherwise not. Ask the Gemara, even if the Torah repeats itself? So what's the purpose of repetition, if not to emphasize the essentiality of it? L'shmol avaka, the Torah may krol mi'akv, do you mean, even if the Torah repeats something, it's not mi'akv? What mi'akv? You're right, of course it is, yes. Ela rather kolecha, the Torah may krol, v'adei mi'akv, of course, there's no discussion. The Torah repeats itself, of course it's mi'akv. So what then is the point of machlekes between Rav and Shmuel if they're both saying the same thing? There is one difference between the two. We're going to get a side point actually. The question is how to learn the psukim discussing the act of kmitza. Because one place we find the Torah describes the kmitza as meloi kumtze, a kaimitz fill, like a certain amount, so to speak. Elsewhere it says big kumtze, using his actual scoop in a manual, personal way. The sign, as we find in Hebrews, it says Mloy Kumtzoy, and then it says Big Kumtzoy. What do these two Lashonis mean? The second pasuk is meant to emphasize Big Kumtzoy. It has to be done manually. Shalay Yase Mida LeKoymitz. The Kohen can't just make like a measure, a set measure which corresponds to the amount that fills his personal Koymitz. Of course, it's all personal, but perhaps he can just measure it up. It's an ounce and a quarter. Okay, that's it. Now from now on, he doesn't have to do the kmitza. It's a pretty difficult task. I'm going to just scoop out with this container, which contains exactly an ounce and a quarter, which corresponds to my kmitz fill. Can he do that? No. Big kumtzai. That's Rav's opinion. Rav Sovar, Hanami Tana Bekra. This concept that it has to be personally done every time, that too is repeated in the psukim to denote its criticality. Where is the repetition? We find by the Miluim when they inaugurated the Mishkan. He did it with his palm. He did it with his personally. So that repetition indicates that it's critical. Shmuel says no. There's no repetition in this case. Well, the pasuk by Miluim, that's a one-time event. Doiris. Something for generations. Mishalay Afino. You can't derive it from a one-time event. Really, Leyalov Shmuel Doris Misha. Shmuel does not compare generational to the one-time event. You don't learn one from the other. But now we have a Mishnah back in Maseches Svachim where Shmuel's comment on the Mishnah indicates otherwise. Klei Alach Mekadesh Halach. Containers which are meant to handle liquids in the Beis Hamikdash, they can be Mekadesh liquid content. Ubidas Yovesh Mekadesh Hayovesh, and dry containers are meant to be Mekadesh Yovesh, and there's no crossover. You can't put dry into wet. When to dry, each one has its own specific function as mekadesh only that type of content. Vamar Shmuel is an exception to the rule. Lashon alamidas, only by a measuring container for dry that can't be used for liquid and be mekadesh. Avo mizrok is mekadesh. But if you have a container meant for blood, so it's not a measuring container. That can be used for dry as well. The chsiv, as we find in the pasuk by the miluim. In that one-time celebration, Shnei Meleim Selis. The two blood containers were filled with selis, with flowers. You see, it works. But I thought, according to Shmuel, you can't compare all time to one time. Well, Shani Hassan, there is different. Tanei Mikra Tracer Zunim, because this description is discussed over and over, 12 times over, with each Nasi, to indicate that, in fact, it's for all time. Omri le Rav Kahana, Ravasi le Rav. So the Amiroim asked Rav, you set down a rule that only with the Torah repeats itself does it denote criticality, right? Ari Agasha. What about the act of Agasha, which is tapping the kli with the mincha to the corner of the Mizbeach? Tana Beikra, the Torah repeats itself regarding Hagasha. We find that it's not critical. How's that? How's that consistent with your rule? Says the Gemara, what do you find, you know, this repetition? Man Tanabe, where do we find this repeated? Specifically, we find the pasuk which says, Zois teres ha-mencha, hakrivai sebeni aram fnei Hashem. So this is the way you proceed with the mencha. You are hakrivai se means that you're going to, you know, bring it over to the Mizbeach and tap it to the corner. And this is the second time that the pasuk speaks about the act of Agasha. So you think that's a repetition? No! That's needed for something else, to tell you, to identify for you the exact corner, that place where to put the mincha. Ahu l'gbayla mokum d'asa, to tell you where to do it. It's not a repetition, the sanya, because really, we seem to have some confusion regarding where to do the Hagasha. The Sanya. Because in this pasuk we find the term L'fnei Hashem, as we just mentioned, and the next three words are El Pnei HaMizbeach. Pnei HaMizbeach is the face, right, the front, which is where you go up the ramp. Right? So if you take a look at the Rashi, there's a little diagram here. So you'll see the Kadesh HaKadoshim on top, that's coming down from Ma'arav down to Mizrach, followed by the Heichel, down to the Mizbeach. Mizbeach, if we look at it from right to left, it's going from Tzafon to Darim, with the Kevesh, which is the face, the front, is off to the left, on the Darim, the south. So what do you do the Hagasha? Do Lefnei Hashem, as per the first part of the pasuk, which is the side of the Mizbeach facing Lefnei Hashem, which typically relates to the Shechina, the Heichel, to the west, to the Marib. We do it El Pnei Mizbeach, alongside the face, which is the Darim. Different direction. So that's the dilemma the Braisa deals with. The Sanya. Here it says, Lefnei Hashem, Yochel B'Marv, do you mean Marav? Of the Mizbeach? Apnei Mizbeach? No, the face. Okay, if so, then Apnei Mizbeach, Yochel B'Darim, do you mean on Darim's side? No, Tamalayim Apnei Hashem has to be in the Marav side, facing the Yechel. Okay, how do you work this out? At the corner. Magisha, you do the Hagasha at the corner, B'Kerem Darim is Mizrachis, Darim is Marabis, the Darim Marav corner. Keneged Chudashal Keren, right? Right at the corner, Vidayin, that's enough. And this way you've fulfilled somewhat both Psukim. It's a good compromise. You got the Darim, you got the Marav somewhat, and you're covered. So in any case, that's the point of this repetition, to give you the exact precise location. Now, the Braisa continues further, actually it's not so clear. Meaning it's not universal, the Tanakhama holds. This is the best solution. Comes Rabbi Elazar and says, no, actually, I'll place it elsewhere. Rabbi Elazar Omer, you see, before we continue, we meant to know that according to Rabbi Elazar, the Mizbeach was positioned in a different location. According to the picture in Rashi, the Mizbeach was off to the left of the Azor, more to the Dharam. According to Rabbi Elazar, the Mizbeach was center right. So if you push it over to the right with the Marav Darim corner of the Mizbeach, so basically it started at the halfway point. If you run an imaginary line from, you know, Mizrach to Marav down the middle of the Azorah, the Mizbeach was to the right of that line. It was on the north of the Azorah, to the right of the halfway mark. So it turns out that the corner, the Darim Marav corner, was actually facing the Heichel. Not only that, if you stand in front of the Mizbeach, the Darim was also, you know, if you look to your left, you're looking at the Heichel, the Kadosh HaKadoshim. Therefore, it says, Rabbi Elazar, I'd rather you do it on the Darim. This is where you've done Kliyam, you've covered Kliyam Mizbeach properly. It's not at the corner, which is, you know, sort of Nishtahin, Nishtaher. You're on the Darin of the Mizbeach, the Kliyam Mizbeach, but if you look to your left, you see the doorway of the Heichal. You're perfectly covered, perfectly Fnei Hashem. So that's why he prefers a different location. Rav Lezer, I'm a look. Yochal Yigishan al Marav Shal Keren. The Durim Shal Keren. Perhaps you should do it both places, to the Marav, to the Durim. No. That's not a good solution. Amrus. The answer is like this. We have two psukim which seem to sort of contradict. Is it west or is it Durim? Kol Mokam Shatam Moite Shtei Mekruis. Whenever you find an issue of two psukim which seem not to be working, you know, in tandem, right? Seems, right? Echad mekayim atzmai, mekayim chaveri. You have a choice. You can adopt lefnei Hashem. You can adopt one pasuk which is alpnei hamizbeach, which can accommodate itself, and also somewhat accommodate his colleague, the other pasuk of lefnei Hashem. That's one option. You have another option. You can fulfill the pasuk of Nei Hashem strictly Marav and ignore Darim. So you'll fulfill one pasuk but totally negate the other. Which one should you do? Basically, have the option of going totally with pasuk A and ignoring pasuk B, or accommodating pasuk B in a manner which partially accommodates pasuk A. Which is the better option? What did the Torah have in mind? A second option. Manichna shemakayim atzmi mata chaveri. I dropped the first option, which would entail fulfilling one and ignoring the other. V'toyfsin, I adopt the second option. Eshemakayim atzmi mekayim chaveri, where you're fulfilling one and accommodating the other as well. And explain. Shakshata oimer fnei Hashem b'marav. You adopt fnei Hashem and do it strictly on the marav side and ignore the face. V'talta opnei mizbeach b'darim. You've ignored, negated the pnei mizbeach of darim because you're strictly on the west. On the other hand, if you're going to choose to fulfill the Pnei Mizbeach of Dorim, you can still somewhat fulfill Marav. Why? As we explained, because although I'm now facing the Mizbeach, I'm in the front in Dorim, but since Kodesh Blaz, the Mizbeach was always shifted to the Tzafon, and I'm now in front of the door, of the entry of the Heichal, when I look to my left, so I'm considered Pnei Hashem. Heichal Kiyamta, how do you fulfill it? Ravashi, as we explained, because according to him, the positioning allowed for it. Because every time, Rav Lezer holds, Kule Mizbeach B'Tzafon Kodesh, Mizbeach totally to the Tzafon, to the right of that divider line. So now I'm standing facing Mizbeach. When I look over my shoulder to my left, I see the Heichal, I see the Kodesh. So therefore, it's a better option and considered a fulfillment of both requirements. Okay, we'll give the rest of Tamar Be'ed Hashem. We discussed Machlekes Tirav Shimon Rabbanu regarding the Kain by Yitzika, explained what it's based on. We discussed that even a Zohar can do Shechita, and it doesn't require the owner only. We discussed that only things where it says Chuka are Mi'akev, or where the Torah repeats itself to denote emphasis and criticality. All the best to you, and Atzlach Rav.